to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns.
What are they going to say?
No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around.
Well, we'll back to next time. Come out. He's Mr. Thomas Hall on the board. We'll see how that works out. But thank you for helping us out, Thomas. We'll have Mr. Lou Michaels. Lou, how are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing okay.
We have a SP Futures game flying back here. We were down 18 5 minutes ago, and Walmart's earnings came out. Now they are down $1.75. NASDAQ Futures down 25. Walmart is trading up 6.68. They beat on everything. And, Lou, as I go through this whole stack of numbers for Walmart, all it tells me is we have some inflation. And they're not, they are saying the net sales grow 2.9%. Total revenue is 1.8%. Let's see. Same store sales up 2.8% excluding fuel. Transactions are only up 0.6, so that tells me you're charging more, right? Was it a bad thing to say?
I think that's right. That's how I would interpret that. Yeah. Revenue bumped up with not the same level of transactional work. Yeah.
Transactions were up 0.6% during the quarter compared with a 2.7% increase last year.
Are those store transactions or is that all transactions? Because one of the things that I heard on watching BBC News this morning was the fact that they thought that Walmart was actually showing an increase, actually some effectiveness in online sales.
Actually, their online sales were up like 30%, and they had a big day, a big 2 days on Amazon's 48-hour Prime Day because they, lowered a lot about the price of the compete or something. So,
yeah,
average ticket was up 2.2%. So I obviously it's good that they're doing okay. I mean, it's shows a lot of stuff, but other places aren't. So I don't know if people are dropping down in where they shop or whatever. Obviously, Macy's numbers yesterday were awful. Crazy world, Lou. What'd you make of yesterday?
You know, people are looking for a reason to panic. There's lots of doomsayers out there over politics and culture and everything else, and so we get an indicator that looks bad, and people freak out. So I'm guessing today will be up, or at least there'll be some profits, there'll be some purchases because the price has dropped.
I hope you're right. I honestly do. It's hard for me, as you know. My mantra has been, you don't fix a problem with debt by more debt. And I kind of wondered when the debt was going to run out of gas. And it seems like all over the world you're seeing pockets of that.
We're seeing it over here. I think the market. I mean, I don't really. I'm not a guy, an investment guy, as I've told you before. But what I look at the market doing this kind of thing. It seems to me that, people were sort of on a hair trigger because of what's happening in Hong Kong and Moscow and with the political instability here and the incredibly low level of dialogue or awful level of dialogue that's been permeating our politics over the last couple of weeks. And I think people were just nervous, and this was an opportunity to drop, and they saw the one number that popped out yesterday that scared everybody, and see, people said, I want to start moving out. I think it's just a question of, on a lot of this, the stock market's more of a, and you told me this, it's more of an indicator of, kind of popular psychology than it is necessarily an indicator of how at least short term, it's more of an indicator of popular psychology than it is an indicator of long-term cogent analysis. I think people were spring-loaded based on disquieting news, and it may have been the Chris Cuomo Fredo thing that pushed everybody over the edge. I don't know.
Well, you wonder when you have clearly the job of, and this is a, I don't know if you've been listening, you've been busy over in Europe. I know. If this was Latin, this would be Lou Est in Europa.
something like that. Yeah. I've been reading a lot of Latin lately.
Well, the first line of the Gallic Wars is "Gallia est in Europa," right? That's the only one I remember from 4 years of Latin.
I think that's right.
But you know, you have the job of the central banks. Because we have, and boy, our buddy Carl has been ranting and raving about this the last couple of times we've had him on, is the amount of stuff we're doing to essentially pour money into the 1%er group, you know, the incredible policy stuffs, and he drops down to HB1 visas that keep, you know, high priced people lower than they should be. We've got, you know, companies going overseas to keep low priced people lower than they should be, and whatever. But he, not to go over that because we've been going over it for a while, but. I don't think there's any question that central bank's job has been to pump up assets. I mean, you continually have people on TV that should know better, except they're a bunch of friggin' 1%ers where they don't ever talk to anybody else. Talk about how, you know, the lower interest rates helps lower class people. It's going to help you on your mortgage, but all that happens, the price of the house just goes up, so you don't get anywhere there. But clearly, you can't find a credit card anywhere for under 25% unless you have like an 800 credit rating. And even then it's 13, not 7 like it used to be. So, I mean, the idea that this is trickling down is so ignorant I can't even talk about it. But I think everybody who looks at the market for years and years like me feels that there's somewhat of a Fed premium due to the interest rates. Now you hope it's 5%. Your gut tells you it could be as much as 40. You know, where would we be if interest rates are normal, where people actually could put their savings in a savings account and get like 2.5%, or if you didn't hand out money to corporations at 2%, 3%, and 4% to buy their own stock back instead of pay dividends? I mean, where would prices be? I mean, it's an artificial bump up. Now, like I say, I hope it's 4%, of which 3% we've already gone through, because I really don't want my client's stock going down, nor mine, or anybody else's, yours. But my suspicion is it could be way more than that. And I don't know the idea you would want to have then is for the economy to essentially grow into it, and the stock market to be flat for a year, and all of a sudden, you know, people get better earnings and so forth, and next year it doesn't look so high. That's, you know, that would be the object. But who's to say that that's what's going to happen? I mean, we've got
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that's the rational goal. But the president obviously views the federal bank as so did his predecessors. The federal bank as a mechanism to assist in reelection, and so I don't know. I mean, I think that the stock market. The movement of the stock market, I think the president has a, you know, sort of very baseline understanding of, you know, stock market up good, stock market down bad, and he looks at things in a very short, kind of short term, and so, you know, the move of the Fed or actions by the Fed, I think are going to be, are evaluated by the president in a very short term kind of way, and I think he does not look at the Fed as an economist looks at it. I think he looks at it as a mechanism to put good numbers up on the stock market occasionally, and he rails at it when the numbers don't look so good.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm talking to my attorney, so I'm going to go out on a limb here, Lou, and I will admit that if I was in the Oval Office, I surely would need you by my side when we talked about defense stuff, and I'd need three other people to tell me who the first names were of the leaders in Africa and South America, because I have no idea.
Yeah, that'd be a good start. We're going to probably need a lot more guys in that room.
A lot more guys, yeah. But there's no doubt about that. But I will say that from what I listened to the man in a tweet yesterday, he is singularly ignorant about economics other than a real estate deal. And the idea that you call the Fed clueless, if you look at any sort of our inflation rate, even the one they're counting, Lou, is which is way less than you and I would count, is pushing 2.5-3 right now. And if you look at our federal funds rate, okay, 2%, if you subtract the inflationary expectation, our real rate of interest is already half or a point below zero. which is at least as low as Germany and the other people, because they don't have any inflation, because they're not doing anything over there. I mean, they might have a little inflation, but everything he's looking at, it's this greater sum to the bottom theory. And I don't know if you're a fan of Tim Lu. He might have been the only one of the few guys in the Obama administration I thought was decent. He goes, people have been doing this for centuries. You beggar your currency down to zero, and eventually, it even in those days, people would get together and say, hey, this isn't working. Why don't we all stop before we all cut our own throats? He goes, this is crazy for the Allies to be doing this, and when everybody knows, every economist knows that it's a zero-sum game. It we're not. Instead, yesterday the tweet was the Fed chairman's clueless, and that we have no problem.
I don't disagree with your assessment. I mean, I don't think there's a very deep understanding, and I think everything for him revolves around short term, you know, numbers. And you know, as I said from the day he was elected. In 2016, I said the guy's a businessman. That's his orientation. He's not ideological, and I would agree with you that I don't think he has anything other than a rudimentary understanding of the economic buttons and levers that he's supposed to be in control of.
What do you think? I'm going to hit you with a couple of them here, Lou. When are we? I mean, you've known me for a long time, and if there can't be a softer touch on Earth than me, everybody knows that.
I look at the marvelous repast you provide at the Stocks and Jocks World Headquarters Breakfast Buffet, and I have to agree.
Well, and I got a daffy girlfriend who will stop her car and stop traffic, so nobody will run over a turtle that's walking across the road. I mean, it's kind of the sort of people we are, but I'm reaching a point here when it comes to these government employees. I had to listen to a guy in the way in this morning talk about how every person in uniform is a hero. You know what, Lou? Some are, some aren't. You know what am I saying? These people, how is it that these people at this jail where this guy killed himself, that allegedly, first of all, they're dumb as rocks because everything's on film and they're signing in that they went and checked on the guy and the films don't show it. How is it that these people are transferred? Why aren't they fired, given a check for the pension money they paid in and get rid of and forfeit their pension? When are we going to crack down on some of this shit?
I don't know exactly what happened with Mr. Epstein, but what I've seen so far would indicate to me that the most likely thing that happened was somebody in a nefarious way. The most likely nefarious thing, I think, is that somebody decided to go in there. They got to the guards. They told them, "Look, we'll pay you each $1 million. You won't have to work again. You'll say that you falsified the logs. You'll say that you fell asleep. We'll go in. You'll turn the TV cameras off. We'll go in. We'll take care of him. We'll walk out. You get $1 million. It'll be in an account that nobody can find. And you just have to say, yeah, we fell asleep and didn't see what happened."
So the guy ends up with a new passport a month from now. Nobody asks the question.
Yeah, I assume those people will be fired, disciplined. But you know, they know that that's the worst that's going to happen to them. Nobody's going to sit them down. I mean, they'll be questioned, but you know, so a couple of points, a couple of noteworthy points. How much emphasis is there on, or how much push is there by people who feel that this death is a disaster?
Most people think that it's a travesty protecting other people and that somebody got to him. But by next week, people forget his name.
Well, that's my point. I think that's what the killers were counting on. And I do believe somebody got to him. And I don't think you have to be a conspiracy nut to believe that. I do believe somebody got to him. He had too much information. There was too much risk, and for all you know, for all we know, and again, I reach back to the interview notes from I believe it was Secretary of Labor Acosta when he was being vetted by the Trump people for the Secretary of Labor job, and he was lead prosecutor, the Fed prosecutor on the Epstein trial in Miami, and he was asked, you know, what happened with Epstein, because that sentence looks ridiculous. And he said, I was told he was an intelligence guy. I was told there was intelligence. There were intelligence things sitting there. And I honestly think that was probably some part of it. But those guys that were in charge of that cell, I think, could easily have been gotten to. You know, somebody pulls them aside and says, here's $1 million for each of you. You know? And, oh, by the way, bad things can happen to you if you don't take $1 million.
Well, Lou,
take $1 million. He's a bad guy. He deserved to die. He deserves to be killed. He's done terrible things. You know, we've blown right past this innocent until proven guilty thing.
Oh, God,
everybody assumes he was guilty of whatever it was he was being charged with.
Well, Carl Deniger, who's from that area and evidently took huge interest in this when it was happening, he was crazed the other day regarding, he was on the air, because the amount of people there, it was people coming from overseas or people from here, and he goes, it was just massive amounts of people coming to his island, and for a while, I guess it was all Mar-a-Lago. And he's, you know, the girls were between 14 and 17, and there was a huge, I mean, it wasn't like one or two. But where I want to, we have a minute and a half here, a little bit, I want to talk about some of these tariffs, just to, as a lead in, I do that once in a while, and I'm sort of getting the hang of this after how many years. This is from the, what the hell did this, PBR, I believe, NPR. I don't know if they're a station you believe or not, but they took apart some of his tariffs by Alina Selyukh. S-E-L-Y-U-K-H, I don't know how to do that. And Scott Horsley, that's a little easier. But look at the incompetence in this, Lou. These products are among the $112 billion worth of Chinese tariffs facing a tariff in less than 3 weeks. In other words, they didn't get pushed out. American flags, okay? Evidently, we import all our flags from China. Ski and snowmobile gloves. Now, that's for a guy like you. Nuts in a shell. Black and white pepper. And here's a good one. Human hair unworked. Whatever the hell that means. Now, these are ones that got pushed...
Raw material for wigs.
Okay, now these are the ones that got pushed out. Prepared or preserved frog meat. Okay.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I've got big plans for some pizzas I wanted to be making later.
Yeah, okay, now, but ice hockey gloves are pushed off, not ski gloves. Shell nuts are pushed off... shelled nuts, not nuts in a shell, got pushed off. Salt and pepper dispensers were pushed off, but not the salt and pepper itself. And human hair fashioned into wigs already. Who are these people behind? Who are these idiots that do this? And some were dropped totally. And you'll love this one, Lou. I'm not accusing you of anything. Bibles. You know, China is the number one source of imported Bibles, so the Bible thumpers got the trumpet and said you can't have a tariff on Bibles. All right,
some of that, I'm sure was direct and thoughtful inclusion or omission, and I think the majority of it was probably just somebody was on automatic pilot.
We'll talk about it after break, and I'll bring up the entire list for about 2 seconds because it's all done by a law firm, your buddies. S&P futures now up 12. We were down 18 when I came in. Now we're up 12. I guess it's all because of the Walmart news. And Nasdaq futures now up 25. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Bonney, Mr. Will Michaels, Mr. Thomas Hall on the board. SP Futures now up 650. They were up 10. They were down 18, so we're up 6.25. Nasdaq Futures up 4, up 2 now. This stuff is flying like there's no tomorrow. Dow Futures are up like 70. They are all over the place this morning for sure. DAX down 132, 1.1%. FTSE down 94, 1.3%. CAC around down 47, only 0.9 there. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 249, 1.2. Shanghai up 6.2%. Hang Seng up 153. Those guys have been down all week with the riots and stuff, so they're bouncing back a little bit today. Oil, we've got down a buck, 54.19. Brent down $1.44, 58.04. Natural gas, 215. I'm wondering if these guys made a bottom at 212 last week. We'll see, because we are heading towards winter. RBOB 164, and we've got gold 15.30 up 2. Silver 17.22, it's down 6 cents. Thomas, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
All right, and good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36 here in the downtown area of Chicago. The weather is currently 69 degrees. We're going to reach a high of 79 and a low of 62. Chief, travel times look pretty normal for this time of the day. Nothing really sticks out here. We do have the inbound Kennedy from O'Hare to the 290 Jane interchange at about 29 minutes. So there's a slight buildup there as we get ready to start our day. And then additionally, we have the inbound Eisenhower from Harlem to 294 at about 20 minutes as well. So everything else is pretty normal. In sports, Chief, the White Sox, they came out with a nice win in the shootout. James McCann hit a tie-breaking grand slam in the eighth inning to defeat the Houston Astros 13-9. The White Sox won the series over Houston, so a nice win for them. The bad and slash ugly is the Cubs' woes on the road as they continue to lose losing to the Philadelphia Phillies. Bryce Harper hit two home runs to contribute to the drubbing the Cubs took. 11-1, the Cubs fall out of, or I should say they fall into a first place tie once again with the St. Louis Cardinals. Chief.
Lou, how much money do you think these guys are making? I'm looking at this site. You ever heard of these guys, Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg? International trade?
No.
Because now that you are in Europa, international trade, customs, and export law. So they have this massive website where they keep track of all this stuff. Get a load of this. So I'll go through this real quick. The final list of $34 billion, 25% tariff. List number one, exclusion request granted. Final list now $16 billion, 25%. List number two, exclusion request granted. But now here's the final list all the way down the page. I'm not going to read them all. The final list of the 10% tariffs effective September 1st. In other words, the guys that didn't get pushed off and the ones that did. All right. So I'm going to go to this thing and I'm going to read like five or so lines. Lou, the thing is a bazillion pages long. It is unreal, unbelievable. These are the guys now that got pushed off. Dialis, I can't even read any of these chemical things. Fast color bases of aniline derivatives and their salts. What is all this stuff? I mean, it's sodium tetra something something something. Other oregano phosphorus derivatives. What's an oregano phosphorus derivative? I mean, these things are who does all this? I mean, how many people? Here's something: office or school supplies, plastic ones, gloves, seamless of plastic, gloves, knee soy of plastic, statuettes and other ornamental articles of plastic. God, Lou, how many people are farting around with this?
I suspect that the list was compiled out of very broad categories, and then they published everything in the category. So, and then there were likely specific exceptions made for people who were able to get to a congressman or a senator and say, look, if we're looking at doing more tariffs, can you exempt or can you push off hockey gloves? Because we make hockey gloves and we import hockey gloves and we don't want to short circuit that season. The ski glove guy didn't get in, I guess.
Waterbed mattresses and liners
didn't get his donation in fast enough.
We're talking about thousands of lines here. How do that many people get anywhere?
That's what I mean. I think it was done with very broad categories. So you would have certain categories of chemicals, certain categories of fertilizers, which I think the organophosphates are, certain categories of other items with specific exemptions cut out of those, and I'm guessing that's what happened.
Get a load of this: close bins, spring type of plastic, pneumatic mattresses and other inflatable articles of plastics. Erasers. Now, if you can tell me the difference here, Lou, you're a better man than me. Thomas, an artist, he might be able to. Erasers of non-cellular vulcanized rubber other than hard rubber. What in God's name is the difference?
The way it was manufactured.
Toys for pets made of non-cellular vulcanized rubber other than hard rubber.
Yeah. So again, some kind of very broad category that would include those kinds of things where they're doing a lot of work there with these kinds of chemical compounds and with rubbers and plastics, and so you hit those and say, all right, we're gonna tariff those.
I assume
there was some kind of, dare I say, market analysis done in terms of impact.
I can't imagine. It's too complicated, Lou. Tents of cotton. Tents of textile materials other than cotton or synthetic fibers. Camping goods of cotton.
Well, and this goes back, Chief, to the size of government, what people want government to do. And so we want access to, and we want to be able to know every single thing that's coming in through our ports, every business that imports this stuff. We need to know it. You need to account for it. And so we maintain this database.
It's
monstrous.
Yeah. If I was a guy who was looking at these, exceptions, right? Isn't the list so specific that in actuality what it's doing is allowing specific manufacturers to actually get through? Because you could say, oh, look, our product doesn't have any of these type of things that can be tariffed. So instead of being broad in the sense of, you know, we want to be able to tariff as many as possible, we're actually doing this so only specific groups might be able to get through without being tariffed?
Well, there is somewhat
of... that's it. They're taking broad categories and then making specific exemptions, cutting specific exemptions out of those broad categories, or at least that's what it sounds like from what Chief's reading.
Well, if you get to the part that was not pushed off, these are the ones effective some... Clearly, there's a farmer thing in here. The first three pages are all some type of livestock. Live horses, live asses, I guess those are jackasses, live purebred breeding horses, live swine, live sheep, live goats, live chickens, weighing not over 185 grams each. I don't know. Is that a big chicken or a little chicken? I have no idea. So obviously we're trying to put a bunch of tariffs on farm goods of any kind. Any kind of meat cuts, anything like that. But do we import meat? I thought we exported meat.
I think that's aimed at Chinese buyers.
How does it say, don't we get Kobe beef? Isn't that...
That's in Japan.
Milk and, Japanese.
Milk and cream.
That's aimed... I think China's a net food importer from us, and so that's aimed at our people, saying you can't bring that stuff in, or we're going to impose a cost on them shipping that stuff out. Or at least the Chinese. Let me put it this way: that's what the Chinese have done.
I don't want to ask you
They're countering. They're hitting on our guys for the same thing.
I don't want to ask you this, Lou, because you probably know what I'm talking about. There's about 15 different things that make that 25 of milk and cream. The detail on this is what gets me. But get a load of this: meat and edible offal. What is edible offal?
Offal, you mean O-F-F-A-L.
Yes.
So offal is typically the stuff that is cast off from an animal, you know, organs, things like that we typically would not serve, you know, except as delicacies.
So get a load of the milk. I'll just read a couple of these milk and creams.
What is stomachs, this interesting? You know,
milk and cream,
things like that.
Unconcentrated. With no added sweeteners, fat content by weight, no more than 1%. Milk and cream, unconcentrated, unsweetened, fat content over 1%, but not over 6. For not over 11 million liters entered in any calendar year. Who the hell's counting the amount of liters? What are we doing with this?
We keep track. We keep track of that stuff.
How many people does it take?
Well, it takes fewer now than it used to. Because the stuff gets recorded automatically in a lot of cases with barcodes that go on the shipping containers, and so we know the boxes go into the shipping containers. The barcode goes on the outside, and they've got barcodes on them. The barcode goes on the outside of the shipping container. You know, there's somebody at the other side matching the barcode with the contents. It can be done fairly quickly. It doesn't take a huge. It takes a lot of people, but it doesn't take a huge number.
I am astounded by the people who can tell by looking at it 1% versus 2% in a big tank. I mean,
there's a level of, you know, compliance here that's got to be pretty good. But yeah, I agree. I don't think there's somebody looking at a vat of milk and going that's 1% or that's 2%. They look at what's on the side and what's being represented, and if you're misrepresenting, then you're going to have trouble.
All right, enough with this, Lou. My curiosity, I guess, is will remain there. And the amount of,
think about this is an aspect of the federal regulatory scheme that we always talk about in terms of levels of detail and how closely certain aspects of our life are regulated and monitored by the federal authority. And this is one of them. You know, the dairy industry has been subject to all kinds of regulatory effort. Because dairy farmers were a big lobby at one point and lobbied for a lot of regulation and restriction. Agricultural companies do this. Tobacco companies do this.
Lou, we got to go to break, but I got a quick question for you. What is a hinny? Is a hinny a female? It can't be a female mule. Mules and hinnies.
H-E-N-N-Y.
H-I-N-N-I-E-S. Is that a female mule? Got to be. Mules and hinnies not imported for immediate slaughter. Mules and hennies imported for immediate slaughter. Do we eat mules? Jeez. Somebody must.
Yeah. You're asking the wrong guy.
S&P futures up 11.50. It's much better that it's up than talking about down 18 we came in. S&P futures up 23. Maybe we'll bounce a little bit today. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks free.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Lou Michael, Mr. Thomas Hall on the board. S&P futures now up 11.50. They were just up 16. I mean 30 seconds ago. They dropped to being up 8. Now they're back up 11. I mean, these things got to be, for one lot, they've got to be, you know, dollar wide. It's unbelievable. Maybe $2 wide. NASDAQ futures up 25. It's not what you want in a market, really. All this changed when Walmart news came out. They beat pretty much top and bottom. And actually gave some pretty good forecasting going forward. Now you can do that. Considering what we're going up against, I don't know, but they did. And their stock is up 651, which has to be pushing 50 points in the Dow just on them because of the multiplier. But that's so, Lou, not that you really needed to know or cared, but a mule is a male jackass and a female horse, and a hinny is a male horse and a female donkey.
Okay. I'm sure that'll come in handy at some point.
Guys from Colorado,
a distinction.
One of these days, I'm sure you'll have a huge ranch out in Colorado. You might need to know this stuff.
I might. I'm not counting on it. I think I'd just rather have the ranch land without the up in the mountains without the animals.
Well, did you ever see the Ralph Lauren spread? I could see you on that place.
Yeah. I wanted to just to touch base on a sports law topic very quickly, if I could.
Go ahead.
That's Antonio Brown, who apparently is on his way to becoming kind of a, well, somebody, I saw somebody describe him as a one-man law school final exam, which is something you really don't want to be, because law school final exams are incredibly stupid things happening to people, you know, involving multiple causes of action and multiple problems. But he's the receiver for Oakland that was traded from the Steelers. And it started out with him arriving in a hot air balloon at training camp after he signed his contract, or when they started training camp.
It's fiscally smart.
He steps out of the hot air balloon and he's hobbling because he was going through cryotherapy. And I know what that is because I've done it myself. That's where you step into a cylinder, basically, that is then flooded with air somewhere around minus 200 to minus 230 degrees Fahrenheit.
Don't they have temporary little ones too, right? They can just like spray on a shoulder. They had one up at the club where it looks like steam, but it's not steam. It looks like dry ice vapor.
Yeah, it's well, like point the air, your the shoulder. Air condenses the air moisture in the air is condensing when it comes boiling out of there. It's typically done by liquid nitrogen. Anyway, you step into this tank and it's really designed. It's a whole body kind of thing, and you're supposed to put slippers on when you step in there, and you put gloves on so that you can brace yourself against the side of this thing as you turn around in it. Well, he apparently stepped into it without the slippers on, and, you know, that metal cooled down to, minus 150 or whatever it got down to. Frost bit the soles of his feet. So he's wrecked his feet. This is a wide receiver now. He's wrecked his feet. He hobbles out of the
permanently?
And then he starts saying, I'm not going to play because I want to use a particular helmet, and the NFL has banned the helmet because it's dangerous. It doesn't give enough cranial protection, and so they banned the helmet. So then he says, oh, I'm not gonna play. You know, I gotta have my helmet. I'm not gonna play. I gotta have my helmet. I can only imagine what his coaches were thinking, and so he files a grievance with the National Football League Players Association. They grievance goes forward. It's of course immediately denied because the NFL says, look, You got to have a helmet that's going to protect you, and we get to say what helmet you use. We're not going to allow the players to pick their equipment like that, with regard to risking even further brain injury. So he's throwing a fit over that, and now it turns out that he's also being sued by somebody for whom he hired to perform at a catering event that he threw last year. And he stiffed the. It's like $20,000, and he stiffed the chef.
Well, hey, you know what?
$38K actually.
Maybe he'll be president someday. Well,
yeah, but don't you get the vision of what is that? A Christmas Story where the kid throws his tongue right onto the frozen pole, and he's just there stuck. And can you imagine kind of similar with his feet, and people are throwing warm water on there trying to get it off so no skin comes off.
I can only imagine. My understanding is he had to step out of the tank and tore the skin off his feet and frosted him and everything else. By the way, Thomas, I've actually, when I lived in Winnipeg, it would regularly hit minus 30, minus 35 below there Fahrenheit. And I one of my elementary school classmates did exactly what that kid did in a Christmas Story.
I wonder who
and
pushed
they,
him
they
there.
They did have to call the fire department to pour warm water on his tongue. It peeled all his skin off and everything else. It was horrible. No.
Yeah,
but this guy, you look at this guy and you're going, okay, this is your first impression with your football team, and Gruden's the coach, so I don't know what they're going to do, but I mean, this is the kind of prima donna thing that is just. I mean, it makes modern it drives people away from the game, and then you have the contract that the NFL has entered into with Jay-Z, I believe, to handle entertainment and I believe social justice concerns, and I'm just looking at this going, yeah, okay.
Well, Lou, why is it that in football?
Go ahead.
This seems to be. How can I do this politically correctly? No way on earth. How can we do this? Football still remains, the middle class, well, virtually every color community, but seriously, white community, that it's teamwork, it's tough guys, it's Dick Butkus, it's that kind of thing, especially in the Chicago area. And they don't, we don't, you know, the fans don't like the prima donnas. They don't like the gold chains. They don't like the stuff. But in basketball, since it's essentially gone worldwide, people love that. The more of an ass you are, and the more you hop from team to team, and the more you're an individualist, it's almost like soccer or something.
It's simple, Chief. The reason basketball is like that is because you only need two or three guys to actually have a dominant team. So the equivalent of NFL, where you need a group of, you know, 11 guys on one side of the ball, 11 guys on the other, it requires everyone to be at their position.
Plus, you wear a helmet, so you're not as individually recognized, which makes it.
I mean, yeah, that's a part of it, but I still think it's because you have a Kevin Durant who can instantly make a team a contender. Like, now, last year, who would have thought that the Brooklyn Nets would be a team that now people are going to look forward to seeing? You take two guys, you put them on another team, all of a sudden it changes the landscape of the league.
Let's get back to the... By the way, Lou, I don't know, you're like I said, you are in Europa. The helmet controversy, there's probably seven or eight guys, Tom Brady included, that said, I've been wearing this helmet for 5 years, I've never had a problem, why do I have to wear a new helmet? And I don't trust them to have only people's safety at heart. It might be a different company they're getting a lot of money from.
My response would be I don't rely on the players. I don't rely on the players at all to determine their own safety. I just don't. They're especially on head injuries.
The reason why I bring this up is I have a buddy who played for Michigan and he played the strike season, and I read Dick Butkus's book. And Butkus said that the shoulder pads were like in the middle of the room. He had to wear other people's old ones. And his shoulder pads, he had that big, huge pair that he wore. Those were the ones he brought from Illinois because Illinois custom made them for him. And I think the helmet was also from Illinois because they custom made the helmets and the Bears didn't. I mean, they don't have a history. I mean, my buddy who played for Michigan said the difference between everybody who showed up for a football team immediately had a custom made helmet. The Bears didn't. Go pick one. I mean, it's not like these guys, I mean, obviously things are different now, but it's not like they have a massive history of caring about people's equipment in the NFL.
But you can't make those comparisons because the players now are much more valuable individually than they were back then. They are making that, and especially with head injuries.
Right.
So they made the call. The point is that, you know, this guy, I look at this as part of the sort of overall trend that the NFL seems to be encouraging, whether advertently or inadvertently, of basically driving its fan base away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a substantial amount of its fan base away. And I'm going, okay, Jay-Z, all right, fine. He has an appeal to a particular demographic, and maybe they're saying, well, we got to get young guys in here to listen to it, you know, to become fans of the game, and we got to bring young people back in, and this guy's got that. And I'm going, yeah, but it isn't 19, 20, 30-year-olds that are dropping $150 to $200 a ticket on a game.
Lou,
that's not who's going. That's
Lou,
not who's dropping those tickets.
Lou, I played basketball 4 days
a week. TV audience, but they're not paying for those tickets.
When I was a youth, I played basketball 4 days a week. I loved the game. If I got a chance to go to a Bulls game, I was there. You couldn't get me to that place now. Whatever it is, thing they're doing now, it's not basketball. It's totally individual,
yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, Lou, thank you very much. Talk to you next week. Let's hope the market still hangs in there. We're not talking about another crash next week. Enjoy yourself over there. Love to have you back soon. SP Futures now up 18.50, so we've had a 35-point swing during the first hour of the show. This is just incredible. As the Futures up 47, they were down like 50. So they've got almost a 100-point swing. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade everything. every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun.
Well, let's just say that these words from Buffalo Springfield certainly have probably to the market in the last few days, maybe the last couple of weeks. Certainly this morning, S&P futures now up 7, they're up 18, they were just up 20 something. NASDAQ futures up 40. When we came in, they were down to, S&Ps were down.
Good morning.
Fari, how are you? This is Wild
Eddie
here.
Maybe looking for a day off. So,
Wild
but
stuff,
this market
right?
won't let me.
No.
And it's like Murray talking back of your head saying, just one more hand. And so.
What?
It's very addictive.
Well, the market that is not set up very well with only a few players, no standing orders, anything you do. However, Fari, if you happen to have positions that are. That are hedged properly for this. I mean, you know, put your prices in where you want.
Yeah, I want to go home flat, come in with no bias, and then kill it for an hour. Then go to the gym, go to the beach.
Well, that's
go to the cigar club. Yeah.
I'm going to say
everyone has producers and the heads. Too much headache. That's for smart people.
If you put
there aren't too many smart people left in this market.
Fari, if you'd have bought a couple of spoons this morning down 20, you sell them now. It's gym day all day.
No kidding. How about if you sold at the open yesterday and look where you were been by the end of the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I only knew the chart yesterday, I mean, tomorrow's chart yesterday, I'll be billionaire. I won't even be talking to you right now.
Careful.
I'll be somewhere on my yacht, as you say.
You weren't in this country.
They had
a Twilight Zone episode.
Of?
The guy wanted to get the tomorrow's newspaper day so he could make money, like, in the market.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I mean, you know what I mean.
But you know what happened? He saw his name in the obits.
What happened again? What happened?
He saw his name in the obits.
Oh, Jesus.
So he spent the whole day trying to...
I didn't know that. Gotcha.
He spent the whole day trying to figure out how he died, how he could avoid it.
If you look at, now, here's my point. If you look at the daily chart of SPX Cash, 1, 2, 3. Oh, hold on, 2, 4, 5. In the last 8 days, 4 of them are huge ranges. So it really you didn't have to be a genius to make money, because the days that are trending, you know, they have huge ranges. They're not difficult to trade. You just have to have the stamina to hold it, not to panic and say, "Oh, I better book this." Which is my problem. A lot of times, I better book this. You know, cash in hand. Let's book this thing. You know, forget that I have a trading stop, you know, that's already in the money. I'm afraid that what's below the trading stop, there's a profit, I'm going to give that back. So, as long as you're patient, as Captain Tico says, drink some tea, read some Rumi. Yeah, every once in a while, take a look at the chart.
Sorry, if
you don't overreact.
If you came in long some puts yesterday, or short some spoos, unless somebody, hopefully of the opposite sex, ties you down somewhere.
Right.
There's no way you're still short at the close. I couldn't be. Somewhere along the line, I'd see some little blip up, and I'd say that's enough.
Remember, there's a reversal toward the last half an hour. So, somewhere you have to find an excuse for yourself to cover it. Of course, we also dropped after hours.
Yeah.
So options are a different problem. Options are very limited, in the days like this, very limited in terms of, usage post certain time, you know, you gotta cover the spreads and all. But on the futures, we actually dropped another, I think 17 handles in the early evening, and then it started basing and then came back up.
Well, if you
you can get a chance to get out. Even if you're shorted near the close, you have a chance to get out, after 6 p.m. Eastern.
Well, if you, for those that don't know, PTI has two clearing relationships, one with RBC, World Bank of Canada Clearing in Minnesota.
Is this a plug?
And most of our people are there. The people that I trade for and so forth are there. We also have a white brand interactive broker.
So, go ahead.
So, I mean, if you have a good sized account, and I don't know the exact number, interactive brokers, you can actually get
they give you yesterday's prices?
Well, no, they give you the
like Goldman Sachs.
They give you portfolio margining.
Well, it's $125,000.
I think it's 120. So if you have an account that size,
you get more for margin, yeah.
So if you had, you know, 25 puts after the close last night, you could have bought yourself a few E-minis at 6:30 if you're still trading.
You
could have bought them there and been able to do that.
I realize that. But my point is, in a cash game like this, why would I want to miss some of the options? I'd trade the futures. You have good indicators, you got nerves of steel, a heart of titanium, you trade the futures and you go flat, and then you pick your spot, and then you go long or short, and then flat again. You know, you just don't sit there, because your delta is 100, not 50, at the money, okay? And your leverage is 30-1. Do the math.
All right, but
nothing is going to be like futures.
All right, so if...
But it's only for the best and brightest.
I'm always...
If you're using those analog phones,
I'm always going to counsel people to be safe. So if you wanted to trade futures last Friday, if you'd have bought yourself, say, 10 calls, 10 puts that expire this Friday, then you can trade a few futures against it and still be covered and not be naked long or short every time you did it.
Yeah.
So most weeks, virtually all weeks, there's not enough movement for that to be a very solid game.
Well, this is unusual.
But this
also
is unusual. I mean, this week, you had to be like manna from heaven, but I wouldn't have told anybody last Friday, hey, buy the straddle this week and scalp against
exactly.
it. But it turns out.
As a matter of fact, night before last, I had so much email saying, hey, we got to get short. We got to get short. We got to get short. Of course, I said, well, are you running the PMT program or I am? Who's the captain here? You want to run it? Okay, you call it. No, I didn't mean to intervene. I didn't mean to be rude. I said, you're not rude. I'm just listening. But try to keep me pure. That's why I ask people. I don't need a crutch. Don't give me this chart of trying to help me because so-and-so said we got to be really long or short. Please take a look at this. Maybe you want to change your mind. No.
Well, the problem.
Let me be pure because I've gotten this far without anybody's help. I want to say that way. Because next time there's a problem, then I'm going to blame you.
Well, Farrier,
if you want to now, if you give me advice. Let me see what I do. I can do myself.
But you see the movement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like people. Like, we're looking at Walmart. I've got it up 680. Which for Walmart on any kind of a day, I remember a stack being $35 for like, seemingly a century, right? And never move. So now last night, I looked at this. I was going to potentially do a earnings play.
Walmart is China Inc.
Okay, well, I look at the 107s where we were, which is roughly where the strike was last night. And I've got the straddle at 550, 530.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, that's pretty darn high, even in today's world. For
yes.
a Walmart straddle, because Walmart doesn't usually move $5. And sure it is.
Gotcha.
Up this morning, 680. So if I had that straddle, okay, I can now sell Walmart up here, hope for it to run back down, and I'll make a dollar on my straddle if I sold it here, if I shorted the stock here. I lock in $1. I hope people know what I'm talking about. So now I have to have a place where I can short the stock before the market, which I could do at IB. Hard to do at RBC.
Yeah.
I could
do it at RBC.
I'm saying the market anticipated a big move in Walmart, and we got it. So even if you were right on the trade, you're only up $1.
Yeah.
On a massive move, because the move was anticipated. It's not like they sold you the straddle for $1.50. It was $5.50.
Yes.
But that's a real number.
Yes. You got that right.
So, I mean, you got to pay to play. I mean, I remember Friday the...
Well, you can't win if you don't play.
Well, that's right. The biggest ticket I ever saw on the floor for, I might have been, probably were a few in the crash, but United Airlines, I'm going to say when somebody was going to buy them at $300, stock got to like 294 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was supposed to go out this weekend. This might have been Thursday morning, Friday morning, something like that. I think it was a Friday morning. And if ever there was one that I was absolutely convinced this merger
is
not going to
go through.
Folks,
this is a good war story.
But I was actually convinced.
He was absolutely convinced. There you go.
Well, but to what end? So,
exactly.
Because every morning that week.
Too many butts.
But every morning that week, some O-line firm that owned United Airlines since they came out of Boeing in the 30s said, screw it, I'm liquidating my position. I'm not waiting for the merger. And on Friday morning, one of my people who traded for me, was trading the United Airlines pit. And I think it was a 295 puts, sorry. Somebody came in on Friday morning. We're talking 6 hours away from expiration. And there was like 300 or 400 puts to sell. And I think the price was like $25. Well, the next morning or that night, they were 100. So it was, a $1 million ticket. But who the hell is going to, I think it might have been Thursday morning, who the hell is going to pay $25 for a put with 9 hours to go?
Jesus.
I mean, it turned out to be the most spectacular trade ever, but boy, it wasn't like it was cheap. I mean, you had to really have conviction or foolishness or something. why would you even do that? You'd say, I think this thing might fall apart. Okay, chief, here they are, $25. And I go, I'm not that sure, right? I mean, how many people go in and would love to buy a Corvette till they call their insurance guy? Well, that'll be $2,000 a year, $3,000 a year, and
yep.
I don't like it that much. Right? I mean...
Yep. Correct. Absolutely.
But right now, I mean, the options are high because we're moving all over the place.
Well, walls are high.
Yeah. Now the question is, I mean, are they too high or not? I mean, I'll look... Well, you tell me what you're doing there. I'm going to look at the spiders tonight. We have a... We have an expiration tomorrow. When where do you think the straddle tomorrow is going to be? I'm going to guess it's got to be at least, you know, 4 or 5 hours or 2 days ago. You and I have seen this. There's a 285 and a half straddle. You go to this 336 on the put side, $1.70 on the call side. So it's right about where I said. It's about $5.50. Okay, now you and I have known times where the year we didn't make a 1% move in a day the whole year, where the straddle the next night was $1.25, and you and I said how cheap it was, and every time we bought it we lost money.
Yeah.
Now you got to pay $5 for the thing. Okay. Yeah. Well, so it's not like it's they're giving them to you. I mean, there's a good chance, given yesterday and given the move already this morning, that you could probably make money on that thing. But you better be alert and you better be deft, right?
Yep.
Otherwise, if it just sits here and closes here tomorrow night, you're out $5 in 2 days. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I don't think you want to be the guy selling it.
that's a totally different angle.
Well, then you just got to, you know, go home and put yourself in your room and turn the music on and tomorrow night say, how did I do? Because if you get afraid every time it moves one way or the other, you're toast.
That's what I try to frequently, because as the movie starts, you really don't know where it's going yet.
Right.
And you don't know if it's going to go your way, but until it picks up some steam, right? That's why I usually, early on, I take frequent go to flat position. Even, you know, just book some stuff, get out of the way, look at it again, go get a cup of coffee, come back, see what the internals are showing, see what the charts are doing. Not the future chart, but the overall, you know, Russell, transportation, this is even because as an index trader, you want to see what the rest of the market is doing, what is crude is doing, and then come in with a different opinion and say, okay, does it make sense here or not? Or is it lunchtime? What time of day it is? Just take a little brief break and sit back and just let it do its thing. You watch. Eventually, given the chaos we're in, something will trigger. We always have. Look at what happened. What happened Tuesday? I came in. I got in here late. I came in. I sit down. As I'm getting started, market opens. I'm a little behind. I said, okay, fine. And then it picks up a little few. A couple of handles up on the NQs. I said, okay, I'll buy a 5 lot, see what happens. The moment I hit buy, the whole dome goes green. I didn't have time fast enough to click more, 25, more lots in there. Why? Because it's like free money. Next thing we know, we're up, 400 points, 300 points. And then it plateaued, and then did another 100 points, and that was done. Rest of the day went sideways. So those are total gifts. It happens so fast. And as numbers, it's like putting gas in you. It's like putting gas in your car when you're paying $5 a gallon. How it turns out the meter at the gas station. That's how your P&L is turning. At some point, you have to say, well, wait a second.
Yep.
This could be temporary. This kind of move is parabolic. All parabolics land in a bad way. So you get out, and guess what happened yesterday? The parabolic has started because of that tweet that says, hey, we're going to push the December back. And we're bringing back December because of shopping. All of a sudden, oh, the tariffs may hurt our people. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought tariffs pay to China.
Right,
and Chinese saying, yeah, we pay for the tariffs just like Mexico pays for the wall. Another lie.
Right.
So came back yesterday. So, you know, listen, this is paradise. For vol traders, these days are paradise.
Well, what
you
happened?
Take a couple of hours, and you go by the beach and check out the bronze.
Well, Farai went into the extent.
And these days, with these markets, the bronze are now 2 for 1.
Well,
you get a discount, exactly.
Well, Farai, on the option side of the fence,
yes.
When people say, "Well, gee, you know, the things always get pinned to a strike, things of this and that." Whenever you're in a situation where the whole world is selling options because we don't go anywhere, right? And they're cheap. They're cheap for a reason because everybody's selling them. If you're the trader and say you're trading, you know, Farai Hamzi Inc. and the stock's trading 80 and everybody is jamming calls and puts to you and you're the market maker in the pit or you're the specialist wherever you are, and all of a sudden your particular portfolio, because people are selling you calls and puts, you're jammed up with essentially long premium. It means that when the stock moves off the strike, you're a seller because you want to get something. So clearly, if it goes to 80.5, you can't wait to sell the stock at 80.5 because at least you're getting something for the calls somebody jammed up your behind. Same way, if it goes down, you want to get something for the puts. You want to buy the stock at 79.5. So you're a net seller above the strike and a net buyer below the strike. So you to the extent that you have any kind of volume, which the entire crowd or a specialist does in a normal world. Now, you know, if earnings come out and the stock's going to be $10 one way or the other, you're going to blow through the specialist or the market maker's portfolio like dinner through a goose. But in normal times, there's a tendency to pin if the person making the market is long premium. But now, I'm going to say that people making markets are short premium because more people are buying calls and puts than they're selling. So if that person is a short premium, if the stock runs off 80 to 82 or 83, he's a buyer of the stock. And if it goes below, he's a seller. So because now he needs to hedge his options that are blowing up in his face. So you actually get the trading community, be it a specialist or market makers, aren't any market makers anymore, except in a spider and a few others, but the trading community is now, they're going to run it up when it's up and they're going to run it down when it's down because they're in trouble. So if you can get that, that's the position I think we're in now. That's why when you see the thing racing up, there's nobody in the way. If you can get in there anywhere, it's a trending market. If it runs up 5, my normal mentality would be to sell it. Now I'm saying there's nobody in the way. Somebody's going to have to pay 6. I want to be long it. You know, but now that'll change. Probably the first time I make a trade, and all of a sudden now it'll go back the other way when everybody's a seller. Because it does go one way or the other. And when people think that the traders make these markets, they really don't. The world makes the market. If the investing public wants to be long options, the market's going to behave a little differently than if they all want to be short them. Because what the specialist has to do to hedge his own personal position. I mean, if you knew what those guys' positions all were, it'd make it easier. Right now I suspect they're all short premium. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing these kind of movements.
Yeah. Well, aren't they usually short premium? Most of the time?
No, I think most of the time people jam calls into them. The whole you know, the biggest position.
Especially for retail.
Yeah, I'm talking about the retail people.
I mean, retail, yes.
Yeah, by and large.
I mean, every time,
if you get, I have all kinds of clients.
I thought you mean the specialist.
I'm saying I have all kinds of clients, and I'm going to say on a regular month where I'm doing covered rights for people, the specialist is owning some of those.
Chief, you're so smart. When I go up, I want to be like you.
That doesn't mean I can tell you where it's going to go in the next minute.
I know.
Speaking of that,
I know.
So, Chief.
Yes, you're right, that John used to tell me, the doctor said.
Chief,
I'm looking for 3 ticks. That's my job. I balance my portfolio of the options as a specialist, or a market maker, whatever you want to call it. Next 3 ticks. So, it's your job to tell me where the market is going to go 2 weeks from now. I said, okay. All right. So that's our distribution of work. We used to work together.
Thomas, you got a question from somebody or something?
And at the time, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Hold on, Tico.
Ferry, hang on a second. I think Thomas got a question.
Tico's on there.
All right, what do you got, Thomas?
Yeah, so
Tico?
I wanted to ask both of you gentlemen about the U.S. Detaining a Iranian tanker in Gibraltar. Are you familiar with that?
That just happened?
Yeah, I think it just happened. Basically, the... the U.S. is holding them for a particular reason. I just want to know if you think that will affect the market in any ways.
I don't know. Well, that's a problem.
Chico thinks so.
Yeah, I mean, Fari, I'll answer that first. So much stuff is going on around the world. What would normally be a newsworthy item, like Italian banks going south or...
Sorry, guys. What happened here?
Thomas is just reading that we are holding an Iranian tanker from the Strait of Hormuz, and my answer is that On a nothing day, that might be a news item, but now this kind of stuff doesn't even make it to page 4. Right? So I don't know what impact it's going to have. What do you think, Ferry?
Well, I don't know what the news is exactly, and we don't know. It's whatever it is, but tanker Strait of Hormuz, well, must have done something wrong.
Maybe
it has nefarious cargo.
Well, if it has Iranian oil, I guess we consider it nefarious cargo, right?
According to who?
Well, didn't we say that We put
they
the
have
sanctions.
The ones that want to sell it.
I know, but we put the
you
sanctions.
You think they're a convention? They're against the Union, United Nations?
No, what I'm saying when Trump.
Declarations?
When Trump pulled out of the nuclear agreement.
Right.
We put sanctions back on. But since the other countries didn't.
But I know, but why would that have any standing? Who cares?
Well, we seem to think it does.
U.S. is not a court.
Let's put it this way.
U.S. can say right. Look at their point of view. They say for 400 years you do whatever you want down here. We're not going to listen to everything you say. Who's your standing? If it's U.N. says maybe, because they're part of U.N., right? Yeah, what's your legal standing to force us and bullying us through this? We don't want to do that.
Do you think
China's been buying from Iran.
Do you think that Trump doesn't feel that he can do this?
He may feel he has so hard things he has to do, but the courts are so wrong. The point is again, what's his legal standing? This is a court of now, so that's the international court. Different problem. But you know, the stuff he's done here with the executive orders, a lot of them have been challenged, have been thrown out. Just because you want to do it doesn't mean you have a right to do it.
And
the other part is if you can get away with it, China, India, they'll be buying from Iran for a while.
But
this doesn't help. This is going to push. How is Kudus doing here right now?
Yeah, it says the vessel was suspected of violating European Union sanctions on oil shipments.
Could be.
And the seizure deepens tensions in the Persian Gulf. Iran called the seizure an act of piracy.
Yeah.
For
400 years, we did a lot of things there over there that was wrong, too. They've been at this 40. I do agree with their policies. Don't get me wrong. My dad was a pilot of a Shah. But you have to understand that we've had some mistakes in our foreign policies over the years. Well, not just in Iran. All over the world.
The only power
there's
you
a
do
price
have,
to pay.
Or don't forget.
Especially if we're not as strong. Remember, nukes are not going to help us. Nukes never help anybody. Okay, it's just a deterrent for the doomsday. Aside from that, in other areas, especially with the debt this bad, we're not as strong as we once were.
No.
And we look what we did. 18 years of Afghanistan. What's the result? How many years have we been in Iraq?
I think the one issue.
We're not as potent as we think we are.
Okay, but the one thing we do have going for us, and hope we don't screw it up, is still all, I'm sure there's some barter going on someplace, but all official oil transactions still occur in the dollar.
For now it is.
For now.
Wait until Yuan gets stronger. This area. They get more active in this.
I know the Chinese have been trying this for a while, and they haven't pulled it off.
And of course, now, remember, Saddam Hussein said, pay me for my oil in a gold dinar. And we flushed him. That's basically what we did. We bade him to come to Kuwait to have a chance to go after him. Read between the lines. If these guys try to get into that area, there's a price to pay. And I think if you look at the Shanghai Accord, Shanghai something is involved. That's where all these non-U.S. companies are involved that China is spearheading, trying to get do transactions in non-dollar denominated.
Oh, I'd love it. All right, we got a dash, buddy.
Yuan.
We got a dash. Trade well. We'll talk to you next week.
We're in conflict with them.
S&P futures up 16 now. It's the highest I've seen it. Actually, it might have been up a little bit. But the NASDAQ futures up 40. It's hard to keep track. We were down. We've made a 50-point spin already this morning. Farhi, talk to you next week, buddy. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief.
We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Michael. Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Holland, Mr. Thomas Hall on the board. This bleep is moving, as we used to say on the trading floor. Let's see, down, I'm saying 18 we came in, up 20 at one point, now up 11. Blown through the midpoint here a bunch of times. That's where the S&P futures now up 10. NASDAQ futures up 23. Make that 950. This is really something. Dow's up 81. A lot of that has to do with Walmart, up $7 as they beat on top and bottom line and gave some pretty good guidance. And we just had retail sales came out up 0.7. And I have to believe that a lot of that, and again, I'm not being, you know, cup is half empty kind of guy, but the CPI came out in the last couple of days saying 0.3. If you believe that, I'm going to say virtually all of Walmart's increased sales are inflation. And I'm going to say this, these retail sales are coming from numbers that are way more inflationary than we think, but not 0.7, but I think more than we think. And, still, it's better than nothing. That's for sure. It is a piece of good news. Around the rest of the world, we were down a bunch earlier. I'm sure we're bouncing back. The DAX was down a whole 1%. Now it's only down 53.5%. Puts you down 75, that's still 1%. CAC around down 11.2. So they've come back, all of them, some. Asia can't come back, they're closed. Nikkei down 249, 1.2%. Shanghai actually up 6.2%. Hang Seng up 193. Over in the oil market, we've got oil down 48 cents, 54.75. Brent down a buck, 58.48. We're talking this spread now is under $4, $3 and like 70 cents. Never seen that. NASDAQ, natural gas 2.17. We'll have to ask Dave in a second if he thinks that 2.12 number of the other day might hold for like the whole winter and we should have been a buyer there. should have been. Always could have been. Could have been. Could have been. Our Bob 165, and we've got gold down 280, 1625, silver down a dime. I'd like to get along some silver. Maybe I can try today if it's down a dime. Everybody's been talking about it on TV, Dr. J and the whole gang, about how it has been lagging gold. Well, be careful with that because copper's 258. It isn't moving at all. So, and we've got the bonds. We've got 10-year 1.57. It's got to be as low as it's been. Bund is minus 0.66. Japan minus 0.24. Thomas, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and Cubs. Boy, they need one. They better get this one tonight to salvage one.
Oh, yeah, for sure, Chief. Well, but first, as we all know, the traffic sports weather is brought to you by our Lunchbox Magazine. Lunchbox Magazine is the guide to money and probability. It's available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at lunchboxmagazine.com
/ lunchbox.
I apologize. No, I need some lunch because apparently I'm hungry, but it is Luckbox. That's L-U-C-K, luckboxmagazine.com /jocks to receive your free digital subscription. The time is now currently 7:37 in Chicago downtown area. The weather is 69 degrees. We're going to reach a high of 79 with a low of 62. In sports, the White Sox actually have been looking good lately, Chief, as they were able to get squeak out a win. James McCann hits a tie-breaking grand slam in the eighth to defeat the Houston Astros 13-9. The Sox won the season series against Houston. Now travel to Anaheim to face the Anaheim Angels. Ronaldo Lopez will get on the bump for the Sox. The ugly is the Cubs' woes. They continue on the road, losing to the Philadelphia Phillies. Bryce Harper hit two home runs, and the Cubs got drubbed 11-1. They fall to a first-place tie now with the St. Louis Cardinals, and I'm sure that is going to continue for the rest of the season. Back and forth, the Cubs send you Darvish to the mound tonight as they face Philadelphia. I do want to mention that the traffic, there are some significant tie-ups on the outbound Stevenson to the Dan Ryan on I-55. 64 minutes traveling in. Outbound Stevenson from the Dan Ryan is 55 minutes, so definitely 55 is packed up. There's also 52 minutes on 290 from Thornton to 294, which is the Jane Byrne interchange. Chief.
I should mention, by the way, I've been mentioning the Walmart beating them, being up. Well, now it's 695, was up over 7. It's still a big move in Walmart. Cisco is the other way. Cisco's been down over $4. Now it's only 388 as they came out last night and disappointed. They claim their business in China is down 25%. So they're having, depending on where you are, this tariff war, world trade issues, whatever business you're in, you're either being affected. You could be being affected positively. I mean, if a tariff is in a competitive business, you get to raise prices. You could be affected negatively if you sell over in China or whatever, or you're one of the person that imports stuff from there, have to pay more for it. So it's very uneven. Do we have David?
I'm here.
Hey, I got a trivia question for you, sports mavens. If you weren't listening to Cubs on the radio last night, it's one that I thought I should have gotten, but I did not. I had about three guesses. Who's the youngest person ever to win a batting title?
I would say Robin Yount.
I'll give you a clue, 20 years old. Not Robin Yount.
Okay,
good guess,
know.
By the way.
So I would have said something along the line of Tony Gwynn.
No, but another good guess. He actually was a guy when there's only been four people in the history of baseball. Now, this is a tricky one because they didn't start doing Golden Gloves until like 1950. There's only like four people that have 300 lifetime batting average and 10 Gold Gloves. Now, we won't necessarily go into that, but there's a few people that have just missed. I mean, like just missed, where they stayed 1 year too long and ended up with like a 299 batting average or something. But this was one of my guys I picked as.
Yeah, okay, Lynn. I don't know.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
Very good.
Seriously?
Because Al Kaline's one of the guys. He has over 10 Gold Gloves. And he, not a lot of people have no idea how good Al Kaline was.
Oh my God. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then I think he must have batted one extra time. And I think Thomas, look him up. I'm going to say his final batting average was 299, 298. So he didn't quite make the club.
Was that Al Kaline?
Kaline. Who else was a was a close one. I bet you get, David. The 10 gold gloves, and it was a great hitter, and then ducked just under it late in his career.
I have no idea.
See, I got this one right out of the gate, too. Of course, he wasn't one of the four. I got two out of the four, which is pretty good for moi. The guy from St. Louis, first baseman.
Yeah, Al Kaline's career.
Keith Fernandez.
Oh, okay.
It's 297. He had 3,007 hits. He had 399 home runs.
Yeah, I'm going to say he probably was over 300 till his last year. Willie Mays almost fell. He was one of my first picks, and he's one of the four.
He's 3 points off of a 300 career batting average and one home run off 400.
And what look up Keith Fernandez. He's another, like, 1 or 2 point guy away. But Willie Mays, ended his career. I mean, he stayed a while. Yeah. I think he ended at, like, 301 or something. He barely made it.
Well, the last few years, he was not the same Willie Mays. He could still run, and he could still field, but his average fell the last few years.
Keith Hernandez, 296 batting average.
Yeah, 290 right there. But the four people, I got two of them out of the gate. I got Clemente and Willie Mays. The other two I did not get. And then one of the persons that used to be in that group fell out for just the reasons that I'm talking about. Can you name him? 5 years ago, if I asked this question, he was in. Now he's out.
While you guys ponder that, I just wanted to throw Tony Gwynn's name in there because he's a 338 career batting average.
No gold gloves. Certainly not 10.
He had 5 gold glove awards. He had 8 batting titles, yep. 15 all-star appearances.
What I'm saying, the group of people with 10 gold gloves, especially if you pull...
he batted 338, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this was the trivia. But especially if you pull the pitchers out of there, because Greg Maddux had, what, like 12? And who's the guy that had like 19? Who was the pitcher, the left-handed pitcher, David? That had, he got one like every year. What the hell was his name?
Glavin?
No, he was older time guy.
Philly guy? The guy in Philadelphia?
No, not, you're talking about the
Carlton, big, Steve
No,
Carlton.
It's the lefty, no. This was a, look up pitching gold glove records, Thomas, because it's a, all right, David. What's going on with this market? Clearly, if you've got the sine wave right, all you need is a one lot, and you're buying new cars, for God's sake.
The overnight was vicious. I mean, both directions, two up, two down, and moderately up now. I mean, I really think maybe one more big dive in the markets, at least short term. I don't want to speak. Short term can be 5 minutes. But I do think that short term the market's probably pretty washed out, and I do think the bond market, 30-year especially, is just way, way, way overdone.
Yeah,
all
I think so.
Moving average oscillators and relative strength indexes are extended big time. I don't use the term overbought, but beyond, you're seeing divergences where, despite what looks to be straight up, straight up, straight up, the oscillators are not making new highs now, believe it or not.
Well, you know, we've had a president who, again, yesterday came out and said that the China thing is fine. He's winning that. And, oh, by the way, Xi's his buddy again, and he could stop the thing in China or in Hong Kong peacefully the minute he feels like it because he's such a great leader.
Right.
I believe you're talking about Jim Catt.
Jim Catt, yeah.
He pitched Minnesota in for the Sox for a little bit.
What was it? Didn't he get like 16 of them or some number?
I don't know a lot.
Yeah, he did play for the White Sox from 73 to 75, and he won two. He got traded mid-season, so technically three with the White Sox.
How many gold gloves did he get?
One, two.
Because I think Maddux has over 10, I believe. Anyway.
16.
There's a lot. David, so he blurts that out yesterday, and now Steve Leisman comes on and says, you know, if you look at the difference of inflation rates between here and Europe, our real rate of interest is actually lower than theirs, because we're pushing 2% inflation, and we've got, I mean, maybe more, and so with a 2% funds rate, you're down to zero or maybe negative, right?
I guess that's a way of looking at it.
Well, it's the way probably you should look at it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, here's a stat for you. I would never have thought about this one. People have stats. An article here by Yun Li. Y-U-N-L-I. That's an easy one.
Very Asian.
Very Asian, yes. The S&P fell 1.2% on Monday, followed by a 1.5% rebound. And yesterday saw it losing 2.9%. The consecutive whiplash, down one, up one, down two, has only happened 19 times in the past 30 years. According to Bespoke Investment Group, who the hell are they? Going back to 1928, on average, after a three-day pattern like that, the market has lost an average of 2.5% in the next 6 months. After this strange pattern occurred. Well, you got some one hell of a computer to be able to dig that one up in a day.
I mean, 2.5%. 2.5% over 6 months, is that a statement? We're losing or gaining 2.5% in a day.
I get that, but I'm saying these are the stats, David. On average?
Let's say we knew with a 75% chance, which we don't, a 75% chance that the market was going to be down 2.5% in the next 6 months. Can you even hedge that?
Well, I would like to see out of the 19 times.
You could put on some kind of a spread to try and get that small of a thing, but over time, that doesn't pay you.
But they don't. I mean, I'm digging through the article here. They keep talking about averages here, but I'd like to find out what number actually is.
CNBC has that Ken show where you can plug in, you know, this, and this. And I don't know how long their database goes back. I think it's something like 20 years or 30 years. But you can get those answers fairly readily anymore.
But, you know, it's weird. Is in three months, they have the market up. And yet in 6 months, it's down. Anyway, these are stats. These are like baseball stats.
Maybe that means that, you know, the VIX is a buy even here.
You know, it might be. But, I mean, one thing's for sure. I have the VIX at 21.77 today. I will say this. If you do buy it here, if you get it to 25, you better sell it.
Right.
Of course, there is going to come a day when it'll be like the 87 crash and it goes to like 80. You know. But,
We've had a few blips like that. I think I can't remember exactly, but I think with the commodity deal and the Argentinian crisis and Thai issues or whatever, I think in 15 when the commodities dropped like crazy. I don't know if it was 80, but I think it hit like up mid-50s to 60 for a day or two.
Wasn't it a year ago, January, when that crazy product, the CBOE, had out there totally collapsed when the VIX went way up and came flying way back down?
Yeah.
No, that note product? That note product they have.
It was brutality.
Yeah, then
there were firms that closed because of that one product.
I know, and they're to say that there's massive litigation about that is an understatement.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all over the place because the people who put it out there, when it flew way down, had a right to buy it back and then make it not a product anymore or something. So bizarre. But yesterday, David, how would you have had to have been locked in a sensory deprivation tank or something yesterday? If you came in short, how could you possibly have made it to the close and not have sold somewhere along the way and just taken your money?
I don't know the answer to that. And being frank, from the day before when the market rebounded a lot, I had some of those, you know, VXX spreads, long calls, and when they turned from loss to profit, I said, you know, and you know, they were hedges, small amounts. I said, hey, you know, we cover costs, we make, you know, 10% in a couple, 3 days. Thank you, see ya. And then I watched it go down 800 and the S&P down 90 plus handles, and I'm like, oh my God, I left whatever profit we made, I left equivalent on the table, and I'm, you know, going to admit it.
Well, we were just talking with Farid. It's one thing to have an idea on direction or on movement, you know, direction either way. It's quite another to pay these prices. I mean, I looked long and hard at the Walmart earnings play yesterday, and I'm going to say the stock's up 7, which is a, you know, a pretty healthy move for Walmart, up or down.
6.5%.
I mean, but that thing, God, how many years, David, was the stock 34 to 35 hours and never budged? Like a decade?
No, I get it. And that's why the 10, and especially on shorts or even hedges, when the market's given you opportunity over the last, two and a half, 3 years, if you didn't take it, the market took it away. So, you know, then and you saw the Dow holding between 350 and 400 lower, and you said, hey, thanks for the profit, see ya.
Well, I mean,
and then it doubled by the end of the day.
Well, if you really thought, I actually did, believe it or not, think that Walmart was going to come out with, because this is not a positive for the economy, David, but I honestly believe right now that because our growth has been overstated, our inflation has been understated.
I agree, but
having said that, I think we're into a situation where if we go to a party and we don't have enough beer, and Thomas weasels and has himself three beers, that means that one of us only gets one, right?
Because
there's only two per person. And I think when you have Macy's and these other people come out and say everything stinks, and yet the retail sales, the gross numbers are fairly high, somebody's a winner in there somewhere. It's either going to be Dollar Tree or someplace, and I honestly did believe it was going to be Walmart.
No, I agree. And when you saw more than 10% declines on the same day in Kohl's, and in Nordstrom and in Macy in the same day, you had to think somebody was benefiting, like you said, either Dollar Tree or Amazon or Walmart. And of the big box stores, it probably had to be Walmart.
And so, but say I really felt that way, and I wanted to buy. I mean, this $7 move is really off the chart for these guys. Yet the straddle was 540 or something.
Right.
So I'm right, and if I would have bought it, I'd be right, and I'd have this, you know, what I think would be a huge profit. It's only a buck and a half, David.
No, I get it.
And a 540 investment, that's better than a sharp stick in the eye, but you would think. I mean, I've seen Walmart at times going into earnings where the straddle is less than $2. You know, and...
Yeah, and that's the thing, and how do you buy it? No matter how strong, and you know, hey, 20-30% in a day is pretty sweet, but how do you buy it when you know that because of the volatility, the premiums are so expensive?
Well, and I'm looking at the spiders tomorrow
and
night.
History. If the straddle is $2 historically and now it's five and a half, how in the world can you buy it regardless of what your feelings are?
Right. Well, I'm looking at, I mean, we think. It's not that we think, David. Since I've been in here this morning, we've had a 30-point move in a spoo. So it's not like I'm selling snake oil, telling people that this stuff is moving. It's moving. But now I look at the
54. High was 28.71.75 in the minis, 28.17.75. 54 handles overnight.
Wow. Well, okay. So it wouldn't take a whole lot to think, boy, in the next couple of days we might see some movement. Now, I look at the S&P, the spiders, and I look tomorrow night. Well, this morning, we opened up, well, we were 284 last night. So the 284 straddle is $5.20. So there have been times, David, when you and I have been doing the show, we're 2 days before an expiration of the spider, that 1 year where we never moved at all. I'm going to say it was a buck and a quarter. And now it's over $5. Now, yes, I think there's going to be some movement. But 2% in 2 days? That's a lot.
And yet, we had just short of 2% overnight.
Right, but we're only up. I mean, if I'm going to let it go till tomorrow night
and
trade it.
You don't have enough change to make one side to offset.
Yeah, I need a 2% move to break even. And now we've had this move this morning, and what are we? We're up a buck 70. I need another 330. that direction. Because if it goes back down from here and goes back up, that doesn't help me. Unless I'm trading it.
So I got a question. I want to jump in here while we got a couple minutes left. So what are you guys doing today for your National Relaxation Day? You got any plans?
I'm not so sure that this is a relaxing day for guys to trade.
Okay. Well, running the board is not relaxing either, FYI. But, you do what you can.
Do it once a year, you know.
Well, whose fault is that?
Yours.
Always.
Yes, it's always your fault. It's never been. It can't be Webby's. He's perfect, right?
Yeah. Did you see that midriff he was wearing in one of those shirts that he had posted?
God. No, God, no.
Purple, pretty in purple. Well, that's all we'll say.
Oh God. So David, you have a. I actually think we might. Well, I think we're going to tone down a little from what we've been. Although, I'm stunned at the amount of Thomas just brought up this ship being snagged. The Italian bank problem can't even make it on page two. You heard about the Argentinian peso devaluation, which has got to be pushing 20%.
India versus Pakistan, yeah, with nukes aimed at each other's noses. There's a lot of political headwinds, like no tomorrow.
Plus, I think, you know, we're reaching a point where these central banks are in a panic mode. At some point, you know, the Germans and the Chinese are going to say, this isn't working. The amount of old-line people, they had Larry Summers and a few guys on yesterday, and just saying, this is insanity. What are you doing? I mean, where are you going to go with this negative, more pouring more money, buying this asset, that asset? I mean, where do you think that it's working? I mean, the question keeps coming out of more and more people's mouths. Where is it working? Like a guy at Dami, who I really like, good buddy of John, he's like, you know, I'm not an economist. I don't profess to be one, but tell me how this is working. Well, show me.
And when you get policy and trading activity via tweet that changes, you know, by every 10 minutes, it's pretty tough.
Well, is there any chance, well, I'm looking at, I don't know if I want to go down this road, but to me, things are getting less stable out of the White House.
No question.
Now, how much less stable can they get before somebody says, hey, let's turn off the tweeter, let's turn off the lights or something?
Well, you know, yeah. And they are turning off the lights because the turnover.
Well,
I mean, when you get Commerce Secretary and Treasury Secretary that are making policy and they're rumored to be on the out list, it's tough.
Seems to me like Navarro's making a lot of the policy, and it's pretty rugged.
Absolutely.
That's pretty rugged. I hope Larry Kudlow still has a voice. But
me too.
Hey, what do you make? We've had some move real quick. Let's shift over to, since it's all everybody's talking about now, gold and silver. Everybody's all agog over silver.
Not friendly to silver, friendly to gold, but only on $25, $30 breaks.
What about this FCX, which is like 80% copper, so it's done nothing but go down, but it has some gold. Is there a bottom on that thing at some point? I
don't know the answer. I've never looked at it.
Because they, I mean, it's kind of, I don't see silver going up until copper starts to go up.
I agree. It's more industrial than precious.
Yeah, I mean, what about gold? How long do we sit for the thing to go up to?
Under 1,500, you know, and every time it's broken out above 1,500, it goes to 1,485 to 1,490. I like it there. I will not chase rallies.
All right, David, thank you very much. Thomas, thank you. S&P Futures now up 1775, way higher than when we started the show. Be back tomorrow on Stocks and Jocks.
Time to time, everyone goes bust. You'll be back in the game before you know it.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.